Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Going straight out to the HRMP guest line where Cameron Wolf, my favorite NFL network reporter, joining us now in the hive. Well, he's a Cougar, and I think he's the only one.
Double
Cameron,
kiss ass.
We were talking about ketchup as a condiment. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Where do you stand on that?
If it's spicy ketchup, it's an excellent condiment.
My man. And now he's even more of my favorite NFL network reporter. Cameron, the Brian Flores situation, he's gone. There's a lot of speculation on it exactly why. If you were to put weight on which one contributed to him being fired more, whether it was the Tua Deshaun Watson thing or the way he handled his staff, which one had more weight?
I think it was the way he handled people, his staff, his players, general manager. I think that probably has a bigger weight than anything football related as a whole.
So then kind of taking that to the next level, Cameron, when we talk about it, we know he's got Patriots roots. We know that we've got Patriots South down here. And we know that his name is going to surface at some point and already has in regards to the coaching position in the future and what's going on now. How does the relationship, you think, jive with what Nick Caserio's trying to build here and the relationship they had when they were in New England?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know personally what the relationship is between Caserio and Flores, but I do know they were together in New England. I do think they have a lot of the same principles. That's the one thing about Flores. He did bring a lot of those New England principles, for better or for worse, to Miami. So when you look at what's going on in Houston, I honestly think that David Culley shouldn't be canned from an essentially a no-win situation. But if he is, then it just makes sense they go towards a Patriot Duke, whether that's Flores, whether that's Josh McDaniels, whether that's Rod Mayo, someone of that elk. I think he would probably fit in well because they have that sort of no-nonsense mentality, and that's all that Brian Flores is.
Cameron Wolf joining us on the HRMP guest line. I'm interested in your opinion on this theory that I have. I feel like Caserio, and we've heard some reports of this. Albert Breer talked about it, how Caserio already had a head coaching candidate in mind even before he took the GM spot, and that it was not David Culley. And the theory behind that was the guy that he wanted to hitch his wagon to at some point was just not quite ready to be a head coach in the NFL. I believe that that's the reason that you're seeing this little decision process, the evaluation, is to see if they need to hire that head coach now because he might get hired by somebody else. What do you think of that theory that I have?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be real. I mean, like I said, I mentioned Gerard Mayo as a name. That's the guy who had been in New England for last some years as a player turned coach. He's a guy who's eventually going to be a head coach. You know, if you were looking at a guy who may not be fully ready when Caserio took over, that's immediately where my mind went. But like you're saying, we're kind of making theories and speculation. So I don't know. I can't pretend to know exactly who Caserio's main candidate is. But I think whatever he is, it has to be somebody that he already has a previous relationship with, because like I said, this. You look at the Texans' job, and although they have some draft picks, I don't know how sexy his job is, given they still have to deal with the Deshaun Watson situation. That roster still is far away from winning. I think you have to have somebody that's aligned with your vision rather than just getting somebody straight off the street.
And to take that a step further, Cameron, we just got done with a discussion in terms of what criteria as a coach that's being pursued by the Texans, should the job become available, what matters to them? Does ownership matter? Does the Jack Easterby fact? You mentioned the Watson situation, but the black cloud is Jack Easterby. The question mark is the ownership. And there's so many other factors that go in. Don't you feel like any coach goes, that's why I'm pushing this job to the bottom of my list of jobs that I could possibly have, because there's so much uncertainty?
Oh, exactly. And look at David Culley's situation. We're talking about firing the guy after a year. when, you know, they probably didn't want to hire him in the first place. They're not really giving him a fair chance. You know, why would I want to come here if I'm a new head coach trying to, you know, hitch my wagon to this situation? So I think that that means that you're probably limited to first-time head coaches who feel like they have to make a jump to a job, or somebody that has a great connection with Casario and believes that, you know, regardless, I'm going to trust him. So I just think that really limits your options given where they are, like you mentioned, with the uncertainty of the roster, but also the uncertainty of the organization with Easterby, with the owner situation, and with obviously Watson.
Cameron Wolf joining us on the HR&P guest line, reporter for NFL Network, one of the best up-and-comers in the game. You can follow him on Twitter, at Cameron Wolf. I want to change the conversation to the Miami situation, a franchise that you know very well. We just mentioned earlier Brian Flores no longer there. The direction that they're going to go in, it looks, I mean, if you believe the reports, that Tua is their guy. Are they completely out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes? And who do you think are the real targets for that head coaching position there in Miami?
Oh, I absolutely don't think they're out of the Deshaun Watson situation as a whole. I think they're definitely going to still consider the situation. But I think that it was more likely 3 days ago when Brian Flores was the head coach than it is now. I think you're looking at a situation where they're starting over anew again, and they're going to be looking for a head coach that's more aligned with their general manager's vision. Chris Greer is sticking around. He's been there for forever. He's the guy who had been on that Tua boat for a while. So although I know he had interest in Deshaun and some of the people in that building did, I think that, you know, when you start anew, they're going to be trying to make it work and see somebody who can get the most out of Tua. And some of the people they've already talked to, you know, or had conversations about talking to, you know, Brian DeBole, who coached Tua at Alabama his freshman year. You know, guys like that, Doug Peterson, I can imagine them having conversations about. Jim Caldwell might be a name that pops up there. These are offensive-minded coaches, I'd imagine, is where they go. And I'd probably project, if I'm making guesses here, that it'll be somebody more on the experience side of things, and to try to get somebody who's a little bit more mild-mannered than maybe Brian Flores was, and somebody they feel like can bring in a really strong assistant coaching staff.
So, Cameron, if they're not out on Deshaun, does that mean they're still not in on Tua? Because we heard that Tua had run-ins as it regards to the situation they're just getting out of. But there's really been no definitive answer one way or the other in terms of, from an organizational standpoint, of saying that you're our guy or you're not our guy. What's your take on that?
Exactly. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, this is a team that was very much in the Deshaun Watson conversation at midseason. And, you know, although Tua had a better year too, I don't think he did anything definitive to make the Dolphins mind up and say, hey, he's our no-doubt franchise quarterback. I think they still think that he's elevating as a quarterback, but they know Deshaun Watson will be an upgrade. So the question becomes, you know, are we willing to give up what it would cost? Is our head coach all in with that? And what's the update on Deshaun's legal situation? So I can't imagine that at this point in the offseason they've made their mind up on, no, we're not going after Deshaun Watson. So I expect them to be in the conversation, whether it's as heavy as they were in midseason. That's probably going to be dependent on who the head coach is and what those conversations are. But just don't think that just because Brian Flores is gone, this team is out on Watson.
NFL Network's Cameron Wolf joining us on the HR&P guest line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Cameron Wolf. Looking at the playoffs this week, are you going anywhere, by the way?
I'm not. I'll probably be on the Tennessee Titans train, and they're off this week, so I am at home this week.
Be interesting, too. So, good stories there with Derrick Henry. What's the likelihood that Derrick Henry plays whenever you get to that divisional round? And the Titans, look, top spot in the AFC. What do you think their chances are getting to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, he absolutely is going to play in that divisional round. I think that they're going to ease him in, so I don't expect a 30-QB workload, but he's definitely healthy. And the bigger thing for him is going to be getting the conditioning, getting the confidence and mental element on that foot. But to me, the Titans are Super Bowl contenders. I spent a lot of time in Nashville this year watching them. I watched them when they beat Kansas City. I watched them when they beat Buffalo. They beat the Rams. They beat the Colts. They beat a lot of the top contenders that people think are going to represent the AFC. So I don't think there's any doubt they can get there. They're probably going to have to go through the Chiefs at some point. But, you know, I would overlook the Titans as a team that can come out of that that conference. This defense in particular is better than they've been in previous years with Jeffrey Simmons and some of that defensive line, that front seven. That really gives them a chance to get after a Mahomes, get after a Josh Allen, and a potential AFC championship game. So, honestly, if I was picking today, I'd probably pick the Titans to come out of the AFC.
Wow, fascinating. Some of my future bets would love that. How about the Zach Cunningham factor? Adding him after he was released to the Texans, how much has he helped their defense?
Oh, he definitely has. I actually had a conversation with Rashad Evans, who plays opposite Zach Cunningham now inside, and he was just kind of amazed at how quickly he picked up the defense. And they kind of gelled, and he's starting for them immediately. So I think this is a team that had some holes, you know, and you know, the linebacker position and the cornerback position, and signing Cunningham or claiming him off waivers really helped them complete that front seven. So he's been running around the ball, high energy guy. I know he had issues in Houston, but I've heard zero issues for him in Nashville as far as really feeling off the field, as far as you know, his kind of buy in with the team. So. That's a big pickup for them. And like I said, don't underscore that defense. They're number two in run D, and they're one of the best teams in the league as far as getting pressure on quarterbacks. So I think that although Derrick Henry is going to get a lot of love, that defense makes them a complete team.
Cameron, I'm interested from your perspective. We get national guys a lot, and we want to get their opinion on Davis Mills. Davis Mills has been a guy that we initially heard could have been a first-round pick had he stayed in school. Then we saw a lot of negatives, and a lot of people thought this is a guy that might never be anything in the NFL. Now, because his second go-round as a starter looked better and better, and he made progress, there's some people that believe that the Texans shouldn't be as heavy to look at a quarterback because they might have one already. What's your take on the Texans QB?
I thought he was actually better than I thought he was going to be, especially as a rookie. You look at the rookie class this year, a lot of quarterbacks were very disappointing. You know, Trevor had a rough year. Justin had a rough year. You could make an argument that Davis Mills was, you know, definitely one of the best two rookie quarterbacks this year, you know, back, you know, right neck and neck probably with Mac Jones as far as that. Your question is, you know, how sustainable is that? You know, I think you got to look at Davis Mills and the situation he was put in with a really, really poor supporting group as far as the offensive line struggles. Brandon Cooks was probably the only competent receiver that they could trust until Amendola came on late in the season. So I'd be willing to see a year two from him. I don't think I've seen enough to say, hey, he's my franchise quarterback. But I've seen enough that if the Texans said, hey, we're going into 2022 with Davis Mills as our starter, I would be fine with that.
Right.
So I think that's how they should play it going forward, is give him another year, see how he does with a better staff, and move from there.
All right, before we let you go, you said your AFC pick would be the Titans. Who's your NFC pick, and how do you see it all playing out?
I think the Green Bay Packers come out of the NFC. You know, I see the Bay's facing off in that NFC championship game, but I think Aaron Rodgers gets Brady this time, and I think the Packers win the Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers goes on a soapbox for us all offseason about all kinds of things, which I don't want to hear.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Cameron, great stuff. I love following your career. You're killing it. We'll catch up again down the road.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, fellas.
You got it. It's Cameron Wolf, reporter for NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter, at Cameron Wolf. And
he was
Cougar guy,
behind, but he was behind, as we set the table, it's obviously enough to say NFL Network reporter, but he was had his finger on the pulse of everything going on in Miami.
He was, he left ESPN to go to NFL Network, so more he's more league-wide now, but I still think he lives in Miami, he does, but he covered the Dolphins on the ESPN beat for a few years before he got the NFL Network.
He knew a lot of the inside.
Yeah, yeah. He's still very much in touch there. In South Beach. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. There was one thing he said, too, that really stood out to me about Deshaun Watson. Miami absolutely not out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Are we buying that? Also, where would the Texans rank as the best available job if that job became open? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing.
choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.